The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
Oh, dear.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord,
hello.
Carol the Cat,
hello.
The Giddy Geeker,
woo.
And Tiffany the Technician.
Hello.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Pew, 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 pew. They missed again, those stormtroopers.
That's a good thing.
Yes. Episode 156. Nancy, girl, welcome. All right. So, before she can even say anything.
So, we have Nancy Curl from Celebrating the Light. Before we let you talk about anything, we're going to launch right into the rapid fire response round.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and we ask that you just give a short answer or a phrase. If you don't give an answer in a certain amount of time, we will fill in for you, and the answer today is going to be rutabaga. Tiffles is going to be on rutabaga count for us, and your goal is to not have any rutabagas.
I don't want any.
All right, so question number one. What was the last concert you went to?
AC/DC.
Ooh! And who is your favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Oh, the little one with the black?
Oh. Actually, there's not one with black.
Okay.
Just choose a Renaissance painter.
A Renaissance painter. Rembrandt.
How about Raphael, Michelangelo,
Donatello?
Donatello.
There you go. I totally believe her, don't you? Okay. If you couldn't live in the U.S., where else would you want to live?
London.
There you go. All right. And do you have a bunker for your banana? Just say no.
No.
Just say no. All right. Yeah, we're good. Yeah, that one's gone.
That was
all right. What cool new technology do you want to see next?
I think I'd like for Alexa to be able to actually do chores.
Oh, that would be awesome. When it comes to the hobbits, do you prefer Bilbo or Frodo?
Frodo.
Okay. And what would you tell the 10-year-old you?
Get ready for a really good ride.
Wow. Do you prefer Batman or Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
Yay. Do you consider yourself a geek, a nerd, a dork, or something else?
A geek wannabe.
A geek wannabe. I would agree with that. And if you had a choice between being yourself, being someone else, or being Batman, would you rather be Batman?
I like being me.
Oh, there you go. I like it. So final round. We're going to give you a tablet a day in advance and tell you that, like Survivor, we're about to stick you on an island and you have a solar-powered battery on there. So you get to choose one book to put on there, one musical album, one video game, and one movie. So what book would you choose?
Anything by Louise Penny.
Okay.
She's my favorite author.
What musical album?
Oh, Phantom of the Opera.
Okay, and what movie? You have to watch it over and over again.
The one with Chris Hemsworth. Thor.
Yes.
Whoa. Yeah, definitely Thor.
And then
I actually have that movie. Just because of, you know, that one where he's got his shirt off?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really good movie.
Like her. And then what video game would you play?
Video game. Well, I hate to admit it, but zombies.
There you go. There's nothing hateful in admitting
that. Okay?
That's it. So you have survived the rapid fire response round.
Right.
I know. And for people who are listening to the podcast, we strongly encourage you to go over to our Facebook page, because you have brought with you some of your glasswork, which we'll talk about in a minute, but you have brought us examples of it, and it is just amazing. Beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
So, I am just so intrigued by all of it. So I'm going to put this over here so I don't keep touching it, because it's glass. But tell us a little bit about who Nancy Curl is and why we brought you here today.
Well, I was fortunate enough to live near you, and I saw on next door this thing about the Geek Gala, and last year I just submitted an entry, and I had a wonderful time.
Yes, in spite of our little confusion at first.
It was so much fun, though. I did a couple of things that I'm not going to do the same way. One is I dressed boringly.
Yeah.
And everybody else was really cool. All the way from fairy princesses to the one with the Ghostbusters with a backpack. It was just a lot to watch.
Yeah, there was a lot. Yeah. So that was fun. But your stuff sold really well. Everybody was walking out.
It's funny, though. You know, one funny thing happened to me is this is the very first time I've ever sold my glass in a market.
Oh.
Because I'm little. I play. And I have a cousin that actually sells my glass in his retail store for free, which is great because then I can buy more glass. So you sort of get the theme. I like to play with glass.
Right.
But the I lost my train of thought.
The Muggles Market was the first time.
It was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. So when I first got there, I was chit-chatting to the lady next to me, and she was a quilter. And she knew what she was doing. Thank God she knew how to use square, which was my first time. Sweat, everything. So as I was standing, or I was actually at my table and nobody came to talk to me.
Aww.
And I was going, oh my God, nobody likes my glass. It's all, oh, this is so painful. And this is like 30 minutes into it. So
okay.
A long time.
Yeah.
A little anxiety.
It's 30 in the morning, you're like, yeah, yeah.
And I started thinking, you know, so what? So nobody buys anything. Look at all these cool people. So I left from behind my little table, and I just went out and started talking to people. And then they were interested in things like I got to tell you about the bubbles. And
Right. There's
all these different techniques. And so I had so much fun just talking to people. People started buying things when I wasn't really pushing them. So I think the big lesson for me was that it's not just about selling, it's about having a really good time. And I really, really enjoyed myself. So it's a great day.
Yeah, well, people love the story, too. I think as geeks, we don't just appreciate what it is, but how it came to be.
Yeah.
We like an origin story. As much as we don't like them in the movies all the time, we don't need to see Uncle Ben die in Spider-Man anymore. We like to see the origin of product. And I think that that is a key. We're going to keep it on you, but so many times we are, Carol and Starnslord can attest to this, that so many times we're at a convention and we're sitting next to an author, and you know that they have put blood, sweat, and literal tears into their work, and they just sit at the table, and they don't know what to do, and they're scrolling on their phone, and they're feeling shy, and they smile in that desperate please buy or something from me kind of way that just makes people run away.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they get it. We try to take them under our wing. But sometimes they're just like horrified because I'll be like, hey, what's that in your bag? Or that's a really cool outfit you're wearing. And when they don't feel like you're at them, then they'll come and be like, oh, thank you, and what are you doing over here?
And come out of their shells.
Yeah. So, but I'm so glad that you came. So we did. We met on nextdoor.com, which is a website that I like to go to, and it tells you about all the neighborhood gossip and who's doing what where, and you know, where the snakes are in the yard and all that kind of stuff.
It's such a modern thing that we have an app for neighborhood gossip.
Yes, it is. But it's like, you know, unfortunately, we're just not in that kind of world where we have as many neighborhood parties and stuff like that as we used to.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, if you've been talking to somebody on the phone, we've gotten some great furniture out of it and been able to get, you know, the chair you're sitting in was from nextdoor.com. Somebody had posted, we had a deep freeze from somebody who was just moving, and, you know, it was something we had had on our list to get, and it was amazing. But I was so happy that we had a couple people apply, and the stuff that they applied, I was like, I just don't think that the audience that's coming is going to, I hate to sell it to somebody that, I hate to charge somebody to come if they're not going to do well.
Yeah.
But I saw your stuff and I was just like, yep, we want you. So I'm so glad. And then all of a sudden you had that carefully brown paper packaged with tied up with string thing going on for some of your glass pieces.
Oh, yeah. That was
awesome because I was like, every time one of those packages came out, I was like, Nancy sold something. Nancy sold something.
And it was
something.
So sloppily done, though, because again, especially with square, I was so nervous when I was first trying to wrap them. It's like there were corners sticking out. I just didn't want the glass to break. So that's why it was so wrapped up.
But I was like, these are a few of my favorite things. So it was fine.
I enjoyed it.
So tell us how you got into glassware.
I have a shy friend. And I'm not shy. So she basically had gone through a divorce and she wanted to do something different and learn a new craft or meet people. And she asked me if I would go to a stained glass workshop with her. It was met once a week. And she didn't feel comfortable and I did. So I went with her and I did all the chit-chatting. We had a ball and it was a 10-week course. And at the end of it, by then I was pretty well hooked. But I also, as I started into the stained glass, realized that I didn't like touching the lead and the some of the chemicals that you have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And then there was these little people on the side saying, oh, you need to try warm glass. What's warm glass? Well, that's where you don't use any lead, nothing like that. And you use the kiln to actually fuse things together or melt things. And basically, so that sort of started it. And I guess that was like 4 years ago. And it just started snowballing. And then I started off with a kiln in the garage. And then you need a wet belt sander. And then you need places to cut the glass.
Right.
And then you need places to store the glass. Right. And then my husband goes, time out. There's no place to put the car. So he said, you do this all day. Why don't you go ahead? And I actually designed a little studio. And it's only 10 by 12 feet, but it is heaven. And it's right in the woods in our backyard. And I've got little glass sliding doors that I can open up. I do put my music on, so if you're going by the Greenway and you hear classical, that'll be me.
Oh my God.
And it's nice because I got a bird feeder.
Classical AC/DC.
Well, I do like that too.
But you've got the bird feeder and
guard cat. Although he's now moved indoors. But he was great while he was there. We didn't have as many squirrels, but unfortunately, he's retired, and he's now moved inside, and the squirrels are going wild.
Squirrels are like,
squirrels going wild.
That sounds like a video that's got to happen.
Oh, no.
Those squirrels are so big. I don't know if you have them here as well, but they are awful. They're very friendly.
Yeah. We've got bunnies right now, and I don't mind bunnies.
Bunnies are nice.
It makes me nervous because of the snakes we've been seeing, but I just don't want the bunnies and the snakes to.
Well, now you know
them.
That some of the snakes are very good snakes.
I do. I just don't want to see them.
We have a beautiful
king snake. I appreciate them from a distance.
We have a beautiful king snake that lives in our back, and I'm always on next door saying, "Don't kill that snake. He's gorgeous. He also eats copperheads. He eats mice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's just and he's stunningly beautiful."
No.
Oh yeah. So you know. Some snakes are lovely.
I love them. I love them from a distance. No. I don't need to see them. I don't have good feet to run right now. So
Understood.
I just don't want to do that. But
you're not into the IDing before you were in.
What kind of snake are you? Ow! Ow!
You're red on black or black. What is it?
I'm like, where's my phone so I can capture it for the ER?
Quick, put it on Facebook. What snake is attached to my arm?
Yeah.
She came running in one day after I posted a video of a snake crossing the road down the road here. And she's like, I have to get in before the snakes jump at me. And I'm like, that's not really what they do.
So,
like,
so I grew up in New England, and I grew up about for the first 7 or 8 years of my life, we were less than an eighth of a mile from the Atlantic Ocean, and then we had a big lake behind us. So, and then we had a bog down at the bottom of the street where you could go. It was a cranberry marsh, so. There was a lot of water around is what I'm trying to say, and snakes love that. And I remember being 5 or 6 or 7 and some kid trying to move a snake, and it getting up on the branch, and so the snake kind of did W-shaped shape in the air and was still propelling itself forward, and it just looked like one of those flying snakes you see in the Nile, and I didn't want that coming towards me.
Right.
So that was kind of the end of that for me. Joey was not. And also, you know, my my dad one time said that he walked into the bathroom. We used to have a bathroom downstairs, and our house was older, so I don't know how sound it was from a weatherproofing thing, but we had in New England, you have a lot of breezeways where you kind of connect the garage to the house. It's a mudroom kind of area, but that's where our washer and dryer was, and we had a bathroom in there, so I guess one of us kids must have been in there, and he woke up and came down the stairs and went in there, and he thought he saw his belt, and so he was going to step on it, but he just decided to step over it because he didn't have his glasses on. And then when he went to go to the bathroom, and being a man, he wasn't sitting down, he was standing up. All of a sudden, that thing started moving, and he realized, I don't have my glasses on. I don't know what kind of snake this is, and I need to get out of Dodge and stop what I'm doing. So that's, no, I don't do snakes. So.
These haven't been good experiences for you at all.
No. But I have friends who love snakes, and I appreciate their love from a distance. And I hide their Facebook feeds. But anyway, love you. So this is not your first career.
It is not.
You are a member of the Million Mile Club on a couple of different airlines.
I am. I have traveled the world several times.
And tell us what you did in that life.
I was in international banking for IBM, and basically I had a couple of jobs where I had responsibility for one. My favorite one was 27 countries, and I was also living in Hong Kong. So that was a wonderful experience, just from the perspective of, I guess, you know, being relatively naive. You suddenly get placed in a whole different culture, and basically I was by myself. And I worked in a group of people, which was 200 Hong Kong Chinese, myself, one Brit, and one New Zealander.
Do you speak Chinese?
Well, that's interesting. I actually curse in Chinese, in Cantonese, because what happened is I was in an international team, and there were 10 of us, and we pretty much did the whole Asia-Pacific territory. But we also got along great, but nobody was local Hong Kong Chinese only. One guy, they were all Chinese, but they had lived in Canada, Germany, London, Singapore. So they were more international.
Multilingual.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it was interesting. The one guy that was born and raised in London who looked very Chinese couldn't speak Cantonese. He was more discriminated against than I was when we went out to eat, this, that, and the other. But that's a whole different story. Wow. So then I worked in the major financial districts of the world, Hong Kong, lived in New York, of course. Well, that was a culture shock. And then London was my favorite.
Yes, because you brought home souvenirs.
I did.
Including some that are walk on two legs.
That's right.
Read your bio.
What I said to you. It was actually quite funny. I was a workaholic, and so you know, usually I'd work 12, 14 hours a day. And somebody said something to the effect of, Nancy Curl needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. And nobody ever thought I would take time to have a relationship. I like men, don't get me wrong, but I just didn't want to spend a lot of time with them. So I got to London and kind of had a whole change of worldview. I ended up with a really big job, working a lot of hours. Boy, did I just get tired and burned out. And I started feeling myself slipping a little bit. So I ended up taking a bit of a look around, and the man that I ended up marrying actually took me to a seminar with Wayne Dyer and Deepak Chopra on a Saturday. And he meditates, and he's lovely in many ways. But basically, I ended up, after that experience, signing up for a 10-day meditation course in Oxford, England, with Deepak Chopra and his whole group.
Wow.
And that was in 1999. After that, I became obviously a meditator, and then I became a meditation teacher, and then I changed my job within the same company, but they actually made a job for me. But I had worked in all these different countries and managed different cultures, So they put me in HR and actually let me teach other IBM executives how to deal with different cultures. So that was amazing.
That says a lot about you that they wanted to find a job to keep you.
I was fortunate. I worked for a wonderful man. So he was excellent in every way. He also gave me a little time off, and I went to a couple of spiritual leadership courses. And it was just, everything kind of turned around. And then I noticed there was this wonderful Australian guy that wanted to go to the opera and the theater. And, you know, I thought, you know, I think I can take the weekend off.
It's funny how that works out.
Yeah, I remember sitting on a train with one of my friends. She says, "Oh, welcome back to the real world." Because I didn't want to work on weekends anymore.
Yeah.
And then when it came time for me to come back, I did have to marry him to bring him home with me.
It's funny how that works
out. You made
that
sacrifice. Sometimes you just have to sacrifice.
I did.
Couldn't shove him in the trunk for that one.
Yeah. Couldn't sneak him in. But that was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Do you have anything to declare? Yes, my husband.
That's really nice.
He followed me home one day. Can I keep him?
Right.
I promised to walk him every day.
A funny story was with my doctor. I actually had the same doctor for 20-odd years through all the travel and everything.
Wow.
And he said, when you come back from an overseas assignment, you have to have a full physical before they'll let you resume work, blah, blah, blah. So I was going through that, and he said, "Oh, have you had any personal changes?" And I said, "Oh, well, I did get married." He put his little clipboard down. He said, "Tell me about this."
That's funny.
And I said, "Well, he's out in the waiting room waiting for me." He said, "Do you mind if I go meet him?"
Aww.
And this very busy doctor stopped what he was doing and went out and met my husband, had a chit-chat. And even better, today I teach meditation for all of his patients. At his wellness clinic.
Oh, fantastic.
So he considers me to be his poster child. Because I went from a raging workaholic with pretty much no life. And now I'm probably one of the happiest people I know.
You seem like it. You really do. Yeah.
So, and along with the meditation, you also do yoga.
I do.
And you're a yoga instructor, because you don't just learn anything. You have to master it, don't you?
That's
there's
the
a little
do.
Of that workaholic still in you.
A little compulsive.
With those 14-hour days in the 10 by 12 cubicle.
Yeah.
You've just changed your cubicle
you
to have squirrels instead of Martha from accounting next to you.
There's so much
way to
pleasant.
Do it, though. Find a cubicle that makes you happy.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what it is. If you find your passion, it's really not work, right?
It isn't. And the glass satisfies everything. First of all, I didn't realize how much I love colors, because I've never had an opportunity to work with colors before. But then secondly, it appeals to my intellectual processes of, you have to be very careful about firings and about how different glasses go together. And if you look at some of these, you can see that there's reactive. So you have to really, it's scientific as well as just artistic. And that just fascinates me.
Yeah. I mean, anybody that tells you that the arts don't provide foundational information doesn't understand the math behind music and the science behind art and all the rest of it.
Exactly.
So, no, absolutely. And then you're going to Belfast, and we tease that a little bit on Facebook Live, but tell us about that.
Well, I actually have some friends. It's interestingly enough, it's a former IBMer. And I met him at a different class where we were doing some of this combing, as a matter of fact, because this requires some pretty specialized equipment, which I'll never buy. But it's fun to go and play with it. And I met him and his wife, and we just became good friends on Facebook and showing each other's stuff and how do you do this, blah, blah. And then he hooked up with a master in Belfast, Ireland, named Carl Harmon, who's basically wonderful. And so we're going to be in his studio for like 7 or 8 days, get to work with him every day, and we're going to be staying in a little bed and breakfast and, 2 miles away, and I'm really excited about it. But he's like a master, so getting to have that kind of an experience is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's amazing. And what's next for you?
Oh,
what
more
do you want
glass.
To learn next? More glass. Just more
well,
glass.
The thing about the glass is there's so many techniques. I've now moved into some that's called crackle technique, which is a whole different, you can sit in your cubicle for a long time and try to figure that out. And the most fun thing I've been doing lately is like painting with powder. So I actually paint on the glass. And I think I sent you one photo of the koi.
Yes.
And that is
so amazing.
You put the music on, you're just in heaven. Aww. And the colors, and then when you actually fire it, it becomes part of the glass, and it's stunningly beautiful. I just love that.
Yeah. So, and that actually is going to be in the liner show notes, so okay. I've already set that up. And finally, you are a cover girl.
Yes. One of my suppliers, which is Slumpy's down in Belmont, North Carolina, and that's the nicest group of people I've ever met. I love them. But they let me make some pieces, and then they featured them in their magazine that they sell their different art. So I got the very front cover.
Ooh.
And this is called Dichro. And
wow.
We had a show in Las Vegas, and they had it on a shelf with light on it. Oh, it was just, oh. I didn't know they were going to have it there. So I walked by their booth and I went, ooh, that's really cool. So,
and then you're like, wait, that's my piece.
That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Oh, it's me.
And like, I'm doing some fun things too, and I want to do more of these for the Geek Market, where I basically have the hangings, and I'm trying to be a little more frivolous, I think is the word.
Yeah.
And just branch out a little bit. Yeah. So I did like penguins with icicles hanging down, and you can put that in a window, and it captures it because there's actually some iridized glass in that as well.
Oh, okay.
So you get the sunbeams going through it, you get the prisms going.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So I think I can stay pretty busy with this.
I think you can for a long time. Well, that is awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for telling us a little bit about it. And, of course, you'll be with us at the Muggles Market on Saturday, October 21st from 10 to 4. So glad to have you back again.
Thank you.
So glad you answered nextdoor.com so we could hang out together and talk about other stuff besides snakes. We're going to be doing another podcast in a little bit. Will you hang out with us and do that too?
If I could, I would love to do.
Awesome. Oh, so, well, without further ado, check her out on the Facebook. You can go to charlottegeeks.com and search for Nancy Curl or Celebrating the Light. And we also are going to link to those articles there. But Carol,
I will push the button.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery.
You pushed it a couple of times.
For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at
facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery.com/GOG.
Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstofka. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.
Do you know all the ninjas?